In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Thank God that I have been given this one to share with you some of the experiences that I have concerning how to study the scriptures. Obviously, you know, all the full-time workers have to get involved in reading the scriptures basically on a daily basis. Because we are given the task to impart the knowledge of God to the members, to the hearers, and to the truth seekers. Right? So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to share with you how I prepare myself, for example, for a seminar, or prepare myself before I deliver a sermon. Right? I think the topic I'm given is how to analyze the scriptures before we teach. To me, to do an accurate analysis of the scriptures obviously is very essential, right? Because we have to ensure that whatever we talk about actually is in accordance with the scriptures, right? Now, I believe that, you know, for us, when we talk about the Bible, it is more than just, you know, an academic exercise, right? Because here we are talking about imparting life, imparting the knowledge of God, you know, to people who do not know God, right? Or to teach our children, our trainer, you know, to have an accurate understanding of the Word of God, right? That is our duty. Okay, now, so what I'm going to do is, first of all, we know that this Bible is the standard of our teaching. So whatever we talk about God or how to live our life, you know, stuff like that, should be based upon the scriptures. Okay, so I think we, in the first place, need to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, or the Scriptures is the Word of God. Now, I think to be effective in our teaching, or even to analyze the Scriptures correctly, require us to understand that the Bible actually is the Word of God, alright? And it is not subject to change. Okay? Now, I want to go through a few passages with you before we go into some you know, technical aspects of analyzing the scriptures. Okay, I want you to first read John chapter 5. Please turn to John chapter 5. We read verse 39. And we can read from actually verse 38, right? 38 and 39. John chapter 5, verse 38 and verse 39, okay? But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Right? Now you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are there which testify of me. Now, I think in these two verses there are some very essential points that we can talk about with regards to, you know, the Word of God. Now, first, we are told that, yeah, the Scriptures actually contain eternal life. It's like the Scriptures is the eternal life itself. Okay? Now, I think when you read the Bible, if you have been very careful in your reading, you must have realized that sometimes the Scriptures is being described as like a preacher, or Scriptures has been personified, or Scriptures is like God himself, yeah, who preaches. We'll come to those verses later on. Okay, now, so I think the key fact here is about the Scriptures is the eternal life, yeah, or contain the eternal life, right? So that's why when we talk about analyzing the Scriptures, we are talking about ways and means in which we can impart, you know, this life to people accurately. Okay, so that's why I think it's quite essential. Okay, now if you look at verse 38, but you do not have this word, his words abiding in you. Now I think to know the Bible is quite different from having the word of God abided in you. I think they are two separate things altogether. Right? That's why I don't believe that just to analyze the scriptures itself is sufficient. Yeah? You know, having analyzed the word of God, we have to ensure that the word of God abides in us. Right? I think they are two separate things here. Okay? No. You know, sometimes you find that a person can be very very sharp in pointing out, like, you know, inaccuracies in explaining the scriptures, but the person might not have the word of God abide in him. Okay? Now, the abidance of the word of God is so essential because, like what we have said before, we are here to impart the word of God. Okay? So why is it that Jesus said, these people that did not have the word abide in them? Yeah? Because the Bible says, they did not believe in Jesus. Okay? Now, so I think here it formed a very important connections between the abidance of the word of God in our hearts and our belief in Jesus Christ. Alright? Now, meaning, right, there must be a clear connections, yeah, between us and Jesus, yeah, before the word of God, yeah, can form in our hearts. Right? Now, I believe only in this way you find that, you know, we can impart the word of God effectively. Right? Now, if you have Jesus in you, when you read the Bible, you find that you can read it with not only enthusiasm, you can read it with the light of God shining in your heart. So you know exactly, you know, what to say and how to say it correctly. Okay? So I think that is quite important, quite essential. Right? That's why, you know, we thank God, you know, I think it's good to be trainers, right? So to train people, to train others. I think the bottom line is we need to ask ourselves these questions. Do we have a good relationship with Jesus? Do we really believe in him? That is the fundamental point, right? So I think if we have a good relationship with God, then somehow God will guide you to know how to analyze the scriptures. I'm being honest with you, right? Now I'm one of the guys who really, when I was younger, I didn't have a clue, you know, as far as the scriptures is concerned. I didn't really know how to do it. But I think we learn from young. We learn to pray more. You know, we learn to conduct ourselves, you know, better. And then somehow you find that God will guide you to know how to speak the word of God accurately, because we are talking about the word of God here, right? So if that relationship is not there, it's impossible to analyze. You can get a professor or whatever to analyze the scriptures, but he may not be able to tell you the truth because the relationship with God is not there. Right? Simple as that. Is that okay? Okay, let's read another passage. Yeah? I want you to read 2 Timothy. Please turn to 2 Timothy. We read chapter 3. 2 Timothy, we read chapter 3. Verse 15, right? We read verse 15. I think all these verses, I think we are all very familiar with them. Anyway. Okay, so it's like a kind of revision for us, right? So we are going to go through them one by one. Right? Now, verse 15. And that from childhood, we have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, you find that here, the scriptures, yeah, are able to make a person wise, right? Now, whenever we talk about being wise in the context of the scriptures, yeah, we refer it to the fear of God that we have in our life, right? Because the Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? So the scriptures actually teaches us and helps us how to fear God, right? So by fearing God, we become wise, right? Become wise, we have the wisdom concerning things pertaining to salvation, right? Now, so the point I want to make is this. In our study of the scriptures, or in analyzing the scriptures, you know, we must not lose the focus. We ask ourselves, why do we study the scriptures? Because we want to gain salvation. That's the core, right? In our pursuit of the word of God, that's the main thing, right? Now, so here it also tells us, and to generate that effect, we need to have faith, right? And our faith is in Jesus. Okay, so I think this faith is quite essential. That is, we believe in Jesus not only being the Savior, we believe in Jesus in what He says. Basically, we believe in what the Bible teaches. That's the faith that we need to have. Right? So if we have that faith, then you find that, you know, when we look at the Bible, again, this is my personal experience. So when you look at the Bible, you find that, you know, it's like you are being guided by God to know the Word, and you know when and how to set it and to set it accurately. Okay, that's faith is important, and we need that faith. Okay, now, and verse 16. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? Now, I think here, right, sometime, in order to analyze the scriptures correctly, you know, certain aspects of our life, you know, have to be corrected. Yeah, because we are talking about helping others to change for the better or whatever. So you find that if we are not corrected by the scriptures that we read or that we are reading or that we have read or the passages that we talk about, then it is unlikely that we can, you know, analyze the Bible accurately. Right? Because somehow you find, you know, excuses, you know, to cover up your own shortcoming or whatever. Right? So in that sense, I don't think we can analyze it accurately. We can speak the word of God accurately. Right. Okay, so when you read the Bible, when we read the Bible, and so we need to be prepared to be corrected. Just like we teach the kids, when they listen to the word of God, when they attend lessons or whatever, they must be prepared to be corrected by the word of God. Yeah. Okay. Now, one more thing, yeah, concerning the scriptures. I want you to read Romans. Romans. We turn to Romans, chapter 15. Please turn to Romans chapter 15. We read verse 4, chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Okay, so the scriptures basically were written for our learning, like so. I think we need to understand, even though we are going to train people, train up people, actually we cannot stop learning, right? Even like us full-time workers, yeah, we always learn, even in the process of teachings, yeah, we are still learning. Okay, we are still learning. So I believe that only by continuous learning, constant learning, then we can have a better grasp of the scriptures, and we can analyze, or we can divide the word of God, you know, more accurately. You know, is that's why, you know, analyzing the scriptures should not be done, yeah, only when, because we have been assigned to teach a lesson, we have no choice. So we flip to the passage and start analyzing. I think it's something that we have to do it on a regular basis, as often as we can, basically. So so that we can learn. Yeah? Here it also says, yeah, through the scriptures we might have hope. Yeah? Hope. You know, I've been thinking about this. Yeah? If my hope in Jesus and in the future in terms of salvation is not strong, how am I going to talk about the Word of God? Do I have the hearts to really delve into the Word of God? You know, sometimes the hearts decide how much we want to go deep into the Word of God. So, you know, this desire comes from our hope. Yeah, our hope in Jesus. If our salvation is ensured, right, is certain, and you find that when you read the scriptures, you read it with a full intensity, if I can put it that way. Right? You really want to know it. You really want to, you know, help others. In this way, it becomes very easy to understand and how to analyze it. Okay. Now, I'm a person who does not know much about techniques, to be honest about it. And I have read books about how to interpret the Bible, you know, how to analyze. Yeah, I find that they are useful references. Right. But I don't think they represent the entire things that we are talking about here. Right. I don't think so. Because we are talking about life. The life of God being given, yeah, being imparted to others. Okay, now, one other thing I want to talk about. You know that nowadays, people cast doubt to the Word of God, right? They doubt if the Bible actually is the Word of God. How do we know that the Bible, whatever the Bible says, is correct? Right, so you see that people heaps up a lot of, you know, questions concerning the authenticity of the scriptures. Okay, now, and we are here talking about, you know, imparting the Word of God. Therefore, we must have this full conviction in the scriptures. Right? Like what I said, the scriptures actually is like, you know, it's been described as God Himself, or even. It's like a person who teaches. Right? Now, I want to show you an example. We turn to Galatians. Yeah? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we read verse 8. Can I ask you a question? Who preached the gospel to Abraham? In verse 8, who preached the gospel to Abraham? According to Paul, who preached the gospel to Abraham? Galatians 3:8. Just from your reading of the verse itself, who actually preached the... No.
The scripture. The scripture. Yes.
Is the word God mentioned there?
No.
Thank you. Okay. So,
in the scriptures.
The scriptures, is it? Mm. Yeah? So, it's like, that's why I said, sometimes the scriptures is being described like, you know, the person or the teacher, but we say is like the teacher of righteousness, or he's God himself, obviously. Okay, so it's the eternal life. Okay, so, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel. Now, so when you think about the scriptures, you must not think that, oh, this is the scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? Actually, it's the word, right? It's not so much the physical stuff here. It's actually the word, God himself. Okay, so that's why when we talk about the Bible, you need to have conviction, full conviction, that this is the word of God. This is the inspiration of God. I think without this full conviction, it's difficult to preach and even to talk about how to divide the word of God accurately. It's very difficult. Yeah. Now, you know the Bible actually is a combination of many books or scripts, yeah, put together. Is that true? Yeah, many books. Right? Now, it's like, you know, when you study the book of Psalms, I said many of the Psalms were written by David. It's like you say, oh, you see, this Psalm is written by a man. How can we say this is the word of God? Okay. Now, I want to show you, okay, a few verses here. We turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. We read verse 16. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Okay. Men and brethren, these scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David, yep, concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Now, here it says, you know, this is a quotation. If you read that, this actually is a quotation from David, one of the Psalms, right? Yeah, is it not true? I think it's from Psalm. Yes, if you have the reference, it's actually Psalms 41, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that Psalm was written by David, but in the understanding of the apostle, or Luke in particular, the writer of the book Acts, yeah, he said that, you know, this is the word of the Spirit, who spoke before by the mouth of David, right? That's why you need to have this full conviction first in the scriptures before we talk about teaching others. Otherwise, very difficult. Right? So that's what I have been saying, studying the Bible, knowing the Bible and how to teach it effectively is not an academic exercise. It's not. Definitely it's not. You know, I personally believe that, you know, our hearts must be filled by the life of Jesus and power, you know, and must be shone upon by the light of Christ before we can talk about it. Right? Now, let's look at one more example. Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We read verse 7, Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, number 8, do not harden your heart as in rebellion. Blah, 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 blah. Now, from 7, the second part of verse 7, verse 11 again, if you look at your cross reference, actually this quotation is from where?
Psalm 95.
Psalm 95, yes. Again, I think it's written by David. Is it written by David? Now, if you look at the verse 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, right? Now, so the words of David is like being equated, to the word of the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit says. That's why That's why we believe in, you know, like some churches, when you talk to them, right, they don't believe in the Old Testament scriptures. Some people don't believe in the word of the apostles, right? And some people said they only believe in the word of Jesus, right? Now, if that's the case, how are we going to teach the Bible? It's very difficult, right? No, that's why the Bible is God's, you know, inspired product, if I can put it this way. Right. It's the inspiration of God. Right. It's from the Holy Spirit. You need to believe in that. Without that full conviction, it's very difficult to teach. Right? Is it okay? Okay, so far, any question? Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? It's okay? Shall I move on? Okay? So I assume that you understand because you don't say about it, you don't question. I'm open to question, seriously. If you want to ask, then you're free to ask. So we can chat, we can talk. Whatever. Okay. Alright, now if not, then we talk about, you know, to me, like, when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, obviously, like, for us, we need to understand, say, a passage before we can teach, right? Now, so, I believe that, you know, our mindset is important as well. Okay, now, it's very important. And to me, it's like a kind of a spiritual preparation required, you know, to do the work well, right? Put it this way. Okay, now, so it has a lot to do with the mindset and the inner beings, if I can put it this way, of the person. That's why I think the first thing is, you know, when we talk about analyzing the Word of God, right, then you need to prepare yourself spiritually, your mindset, whatever, you know. And obviously you need to make time, you know, to study the scriptures. I think apart from, you know, us being the full-time workers, I think most of you have to work, have to study, you know. And I think it's essential for you to make time, right? And put aside specific times, yeah, every day, so that you can really, you know, search into the scriptures. I would say like, you know, half an hour a day. You know, like when I'm not sermonizing. Okay, let's say this week, hardly. Let's say I'm not sermonizing, then I would say, okay, I have to read 6 chapters a day. Okay, I may not read, 6 chapters from the same book. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, on my way up from London, I was reading Isaiah 2 chapters, Jeremiah 2 chapters, and then Ezekiel 2 chapters. You know what I'm saying? You need to make time. You know, you cannot say, oh, because tomorrow I'm teaching, then I start analyzing. That's not the way to do it. Well, because I have to teach the student, and all choices, so I have to. Right? It has to be an ongoing process. Right? You do it on a daily basis. It's like when you do it all the time, you know, you accumulate a lot of teachings for yourself. You understand what I'm saying, right? So that you can actually, you know, use them whenever possible, alright? Now, I think that's why the first thing is, what you need to do is, you need to make time, right? Make time to study the Bible. Set aside a specific time, especially for that. Okay? Now, the next thing is, I think we have been saying this all the time. So studying the Word of God, yeah, require us to be very prayerful. Okay, even when we are not praying, when we read the Bible, there must be a sense of reverence towards God. Okay, we don't read just to teach. Okay, we read the scriptures, and not only we want to teach others, to train up people, we also most importantly want to teach ourselves. Right. I think that kind of mindset is crucial, right, for us to know the Word of God. You know, sometimes when I look at some newly baptized members, you know, those who really have the hearts, right? They, to be honest, they don't even have the benefits of going through the RE training, you know, stuff like that. You know, after a few years, you realize that, oh, these people, they know the scriptures very well. When you look at the way they analyze the scriptures, it's quite unbelievable. So when you look at them, you analyze their life, you realize that they're actually, you know, they are very godly people. Like their hearts are very focused. They focus on the things of God. But that's why I think to know the Word of God is not just something that you do it as in overnight, because tomorrow I have to preach, I have to teach, therefore I analyze the scriptures. No. Right? So the hearts must be prepared. Okay? Now, obviously, we said that, yeah, when the heart is prepared, then I believe, okay? Again, I talk about personal experiences, then the Spirit will guide, will direct. Now, I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Please read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we read verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You find that to know the Word, to analyze the Word, the Spirit has major parts to play in our understanding of the Word. Now, I've been thinking about this. How are we going to allow the Spirit to help us understand, right, the Word of God? Yeah? If you read verse 11, yeah? For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we are talking about the Word of God here, obviously. He says these are the things of God. Yeah. Scriptures talks about the things of God. Now, how are we going to allow the Spirit to guide us to know, you know, the Word of God effectively or accurately or fully? Right? That is something that we have been, you know, thinking all along. You know, sometimes you find that, you know, even amongst full-time workers, yeah, our understanding of the scriptures can be very different from one another, right? You know, if not contrary to one another, sometimes it can be very different. You know, sometimes I wonder how are we going to allow the Spirit to guide us, right, to understand. Now, I believe in this. Yeah, if you look at what Paul says. The Bible says the manifold wisdom of God is given to the church. Right, to the church. Here we are talking about the church as a whole. Right? It's not an individual person only. Okay? It's given to the church. Meaning, right, I can never be the only person who knows the Word of God only. I cannot be. It's not possible. Alright? So, if that's the case, I just want to show the verse that is given to the church, the manifold wisdom. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We read verse 10, yeah. Chapter 3, verse 10. Now, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, right, to the principality and powers in the heavenly places. Okay, so it's like God, your desire to make use of the church to reveal His manifold wisdom. So, you know, that's why I believe the Word of God, the wisdom of God, is not just given to one single individual. That is not possible, because a person cannot form the church, right? So, meaning, so when we gather together, sometimes my understanding of the Scriptures may not be perfect, may not be perfect. My analysis of the Scriptures might not be completely accurate. That's why I need the help from others. Okay, so I think this requires humility. Now, if I always think that, you know, what I talk about, what I speak about is absolute, right, and cannot be wrong, then I'm in danger of what? Of making mistakes in my interpretation, in my analysis of the Scriptures. Okay, I think that mindset is crucial. That's why humility is required in analyzing the Word of God, right? So, if you look at the church, yeah, I think if every teacher, because here we are talking about RV teacher, if every teacher can, you know, have this kind of mindset, then you find that teaching RE or training up more trainers can be a very it's not a very tedious job or whatever, but it can be very simple at times. Sometimes we find it very difficult because we find that somehow our teaching is very different from one another, right? That's why I think we need to have this heart to sit down and talk things through, ironing, our differences, stuff like that. I think that's important. Right. Okay, so this is the how we can prepare ourselves spiritually before we talk about analyzing the Scriptures. Now, the other thing is that we should not distort the Word of God. We should not twist the Word of God. Now, sometimes twisting might not be something that is done willfully, but that sometimes we find that our understanding, our mindset can be shaped by our experiences, or the things that we have been taught. Right? Now, I want you to look at one passage, verse in the Bible. We turn to 2 Peter. turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. We first read verse 16. We can read from verse 15. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Right. Now, if you look at the attitude of Peter, because this epistle was written by Peter, right? Now, in terms of age, I think Peter is much older than Paul, right? So Peter was like a figurehead in the church, right? At least in the early part of the early church. Okay, now here we find that he actually talked about the writing of Paul. They're saying that he has been given wisdom to write to you. Okay. Now, my point is that, to understand the Word of God require us to actually appreciate the knowledge that God has given to one another, to each and every one of us here. I think it's important. See? Right. So, and we always think that, if I always think that what I said, what I have received is always the best, then you find it. Again, I said we are in danger of losing sight of the manifold wisdom, the complete picture of that manifold wisdom that God wants to give to the church. Right? Okay? Now, the second part in verse 16, and as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Right? Now, here it talks about people twisting the word of God. Right? Now, here it says, because these people were untaught and they were unstable people. Yeah, that's why they twist. Okay? Sometimes we find that we cannot analyze very accurately. It has a lot to do with our mindset as well. You know, I wonder, how do you define an untaught person? How do you define it? What do you mean by an untaught person? Does it mean that he is not educated? Or does it mean that he has not been told the word of God? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Right. Well, I want you to read we turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, chapter 3. Okay, we read verse 6 and verse 7. Okay, verse 6 and verse 7. For of this sort are those who creep into household and make captive of gullible woman, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts. Now, verse 7, yeah? Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? This is quite scary, you know. And these people have been studying and learning, and yet they are not learning anything, right? Now, again, it has a lot to do with the what? With the spiritual state of the person, right? Because the person is not spiritual. That's why he or she can never learn the word of God. Now, so if you get someone who is untaught, in the sense, to teach, surely he cannot analyze the scriptures correctly. So that's why to analyze the Bible accurately require us to cleanse ourselves, to purge ourselves all the time, right? And we know that we are not perfect, you know. That's why we require this constant cleansing from God, right? To help us, to make us better, right? So like what I've said before, you know, studying the Bible is not like, you know, doing a PhD or whatever. It's very different. It's very different. Because the whole person has to be cleansed so that we are in line with the Word of God before we can talk about it correctly. Yeah. Okay. Right. I think we'll touch on one or two more points. Yeah? I think we have mentioned that we learn from others. I believe that the church is a place where we can teach others, and the church is also a place where we can learn. Okay? The more we learn, then I think the easier it will become for us to gather teachings and reading of the scriptures. Okay, I think one last point before we break. I want to read Second Thessalonians. What is the verse that says divide the word of God? Okay, sorry, Second Timothy. Student Timothy. I think this sums up what we discussed so far in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Right, we read
verse 15.
Now, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Now, I think it's like there are at least two parts here for me. The first is how a person can present himself before God, and the second is about dividing the word of truth. Right? You find that these two are closely connected. So if we are approved workers of God, and you know, in our heart is pure, is free from impurities, and you find that we can talk about the words of God very accurately. Right? And you know, I think that's why the word of God is so wonderful. So it actually requires us to improve ourselves, to correct ourselves before we can, you know, convincingly talk about the word of God with great accuracy. Right? Now, if you look at the verse before and the verse after, yeah, it talks about not to strive about words to no profit. Right? Now, so you find that, you know, if we engage in this kind of things, right, then how are we going to talk about the word of God? It's become very difficult, right? And likewise, in verse 16 it says, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So it's like, basically, we need to stay clear of, you know, things or the things that we do that can really affect our spiritual life. Okay, so these are some of the best principles how to get ourselves prepared before we talk about the word of God. But, any supplement, anything you want to add on, or points that are missed out? I think I better stop. This is a solid prayer.